Big data is everywhere. It's in our homes. It's in our businesses. It's in science and medicine. And now a new $42 million big data initiative is making its way into cities, funded by Bloomberg Philanthropies. The initiative is called What Works Cities, and the goal is to help 100 mid-sized cities in the U.S. improve how they use data and to share that information with their residents. The project kicked off this year with 8 cities, and one of those is Jackson, Mississippi. Joining us now is Tony Yarber. He's the mayor of Jackson. Mayor Yarber, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here.
So Louisville, Kentucky has attached GPS trackers to asthma inhalers to get data on air quality. If you look at New Orleans, they're tracking blighted property. What is it that you're doing there in Jackson with this grant?
Well, we're doing two things. The first thing is we're looking at creating an open data opportunity, which turns our data out to the community. It gives an opportunity for folks out in the communities to know exactly what we're doing to gauge our progress. Right now, what we've done is taken the opportunity to pull together about 100 different data sets. And from those 100 different data sets, we'll be able to talk to folks about how many houses, abandoned houses we've seen torn down. We'll be able to talk about everything from that to the amount of property crimes that we've seen solved in the last week. So we're looking at it, that everything that spans from public safety all the way to infrastructure improvements.
And where's that information come from? Is that living in a database somewhere and you just now have the resources to go find it, or are you asking citizens to get involved as well?
Well, it's both. We've always had this data that's been out there, but the question has been, how do we create a place that gives us the opportunity to create a narrative with this data and also give the community an opportunity to be a part of that data? So while we've had it in hand, we hadn't created, a system or a systematic way of turning that data out so that community members can see what's going on.
So help me understand then, if you have all this data on crime statistics, for instance, or on blighted properties, what do you do with it so that it can actually make people's lives better?
The primary thing is giving community members an opportunity to hold us accountable. So, you know, if we're saying that there are 3,000 properties in the city that are blighted or dilapidated, and we've set a goal to eliminate 25% of those in an 18-month period, then we want folks to be able to see that we have decreased the gap between what we say we're doing and what we're actually getting done. The other piece is that it gives an opportunity for me to do some performance management of our team and of our staff. And so when we're having conversations, we're having data-driven conversations, and I'm able to determine whether or not we've actually done what we've said that we were going to do internally.
Hmm. Well, you have a challenge there in Jackson. In Mississippi, there's the highest poverty rate in the United States. In your city, almost a third of residents live below the poverty line. Only a quarter of people in Jackson have a bachelor's degree, which we know is a strong indicator of economic well-being in the future. Can data help you track numbers like that? And can it help you improve them?
Well, one of the ways when you talk about poverty and the impoverished group of people that are here in the city has to do with affordability of utilities, and specifically as it relates to water. So when you talk about all of the improvements that have to happen with water and our water situation, you also got to talk about how do you balance that with a population who, in a lot of cases, can't afford the water rates that we have and the water rates that we will have to have in the future. And so we've got to be able to have data that supports both when we talk about rate increases as well as when we go before whether it's the Public Service Commissioner or whether we're going before Congress or some of the other agencies, federal agencies, to plead our case about why there are certain things, restrictions, and why there are certain compliance directives that are placed on us, whether it's by the EPA or whether it's by our own Mississippi DEQ, so that we can be able to speak loudly and clearly in defense of our people in terms of those rates.
Well, play that out just a little bit more. So are you saying then with more robust data, you can say, look at this block in Jackson, Mississippi. It pays X amount of dollars for water. And look at the block just a mile away pays this amount for water. I mean, is that what you're talking about here?
That is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the opportunity for us to say, here is a community in West Jackson whose contributions to the tax base, or not just the tax base, but the contribution to this particular water utility. And then this is what we're asking them based upon usage versus the amount of money they're bringing in. And if we are approaching that 4% threshold that EPA has set for affordability, then we are really creating a more of an impoverished situation for our citizens.
Critics of this type of project might say that, look, you can use data to tell you any kind of story. It's a wonderfully flexible thing. You know, you can make it say what you want it to. And that while data can give you an idea of certain problems, it can't really get to the root cause of them. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that for a long time, we've tried the art of nuance in the government space in order to solve problems. And I think we all see where that's gotten us.
Mayor Tony Yarbrough of Jackson, Mississippi, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Hey, thank you. Take care of yourself.